Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, I want to share with you an important life lesson today. Are you ready?
I hope it's, as long as it's not going to be really scary like the opening said.
No, not nearly as scary. I heard a story recently about a guy, about a couple ladies actually, that walked out of their house one day to get into their car to go to the store or whatnot. And they noticed there was a strange looking fellow kind of parked a little bit down the street in his car, kind of staring at them.
That was not me.
That was not you, nor was it me. That's a good thing. So basically they hop in the car with suspicion in their hearts and decide to start driving around. And they did what any of us would do to see if somebody was following us. They started taking several odd turns on the roads to see if this person continues to follow.
Did they?
They did take such turns, and before long, they realized this guy was indeed stalking them. So they decided to take a few more turns and ended up in the parking lot of the local police department. And this guy followed them into the parking lot of the police department, backed his car into a parking space, and waited. So the two ladies decided to go inside, and they introduced themselves to the police officers there. And the police officers came out and arrested the perpetrator right then and there for stalking. Now, the moral of the story, are you ready, Maestro? Whether you're following a map, a GPS, or the car in front of you, always be aware of your surroundings. Okay, that's very important. Be aware of your surroundings. This is Robbie Romeiser and Maestro Gary Miller with Career Callings. Radio show, and our purpose, of course, at Career Callings is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. Feel free to join us today on the program at 864-381-7649. That'll get you by text message or phone call, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E. At careercallings.net. Recently, we introduced a new feature to the Career Callings radio show called Stupid Business Decisions. In the 2 weeks since our last effort with this feature, I have suffered withdrawal symptoms by not hearing our good friend Weird Al Yankovic with his song Mission Statement.
And leverage our core competencies in order to holistically administrate exceptional synergy. We'll set a brand trajectory using management's philosophy.
That's why he's singing and not me. But yeah, Weird Al is, there's no better intro into a feature called Stupid Business Decisions. I'm sure you are familiar with the Eastman Kodak Company. Kodak's been around for a long time. What many people don't know is that the Eastman Kodak Company developed the first digital camera way back in 1975. I was 3 years old at the time. But they proceeded to sit on it. And the core technology behind it, which was the core technology for the cell phone, they decided not to develop it because they were afraid it would cannibalize their film business, which at the time, they are, at least at one time, they owned a 90% share of the U.S. film market. So that was a stupid business decisions. They should have just launched into that. And that's the first part of their stupid decision. Here's the second part of their stupid decisions. In the early 1980s, Fujifilm entered the U.S. film marketplace with lower-priced film and supplies. But Kodak management believed that U.S. consumers would never abandon their homegrown brand. In 1984, Kodak passed on the chance to be the official film of the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics. Fuji instead won the rights, which gave them a strong foothold in the U.S. marketplace. Kodak, of course, never fully recovered from these and other poor decisions. And in the year 2012, the company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. If that's not enough to make you grin, how about this one? In 1981, Amblin Productions called the Mars Company and offered a simple cross-promotional opportunity. How about we use M&Ms in our new film, giving you free publicity, and in return, you can promote our film in your packaging. The advertising and marketing folks at Mars said no, and the film was, you guessed it, E.T., the extraterrestrial, and the rest is history. Reese's Pieces, the not-so-nearly-as-well-known M&M competitor, saw sales jump 65% by participating in that cross-promotional effort. All right, how about this one? To wrap up this edition of Stupid Business Decisions, in the year 2000, Gerald Levin, the chairman of Time Warner, was so confident in the deal he had made to merge with America Online that he decided to forego placing a quote-unquote collar on the transaction. A collar enables the seller, in this case Time Warner, to revisit the terms of the transaction if the buyer's stock falls below a certain price. Almost as soon as the merger was announced and before it was completed, the internet bubble burst and AOL shares plunged 50%. I remember that quite well. Without a collar, Time Warner would not be able to renegotiate the deal. Time Warner execs urged Levin to rethink the deal, but he would not. And the rest is history. Time Warner shareholders are still paying for Mr. Levin's stubbornness. I tell you, there's it doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, or somewhere in between. You might just be prone to make a stupid business decision. Thank you, Weird Al. You're my hero. I love that song. Man, when I get, I think I said this before, when I get down at home, I just crank up Weird Al's mission statement. Maestro, you want me to send you a copy of that so that you can have it on your smartphone?
I've got one.
Well, you've got one here, but yeah. Have you bothered to send it to your home computer or your smartphone?
No, that's a business decision I didn't make.
Do you know what a smartphone is, by the way? Sometimes I worry about Maestro. And it doesn't seem like the most technologically savvy person on the planet, but that's okay. It's just personal preference. All right. Well, let's talk about this idea of decision-making here a little bit more. As I mentioned a couple of times, the Weird Al song we just used is called Mission Statement. If you liked it, I will link to it, by the way, at careercallings.net/radio so you can download the YouTube version of it just like I did. Why do corporations devise mission statements in the first place? Well, you know, the obvious answer is to direct their actions. They want to have the ability to stay focused on the reason why they exist. That's why mission statements are created. Now, if a mission statement is how you are going to stay focused on the reason why you exist, then a constitution is a set of rules or principles to live by to help you achieve that mission. Matter of fact, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the term constitution in several different ways. Here are two ways that kind of stood out to me. Number one, the basic principles and laws of a nation, state, or social group. that determine the powers and duties of the government and guarantee certain rights to the people. And the second definition that kind of stood out to me is this one, a written instrument embodying the rules of a political or social organization. Now, even though the word constitution is often used in terms of government and politics and things of that nature, basically the whole idea behind a constitution is it's a set of rules to live by. It's a set of rules upon which to found your decision making. And some years ago, I read a book by a guy named Hiram Smith. Hiram Smith was one of the founders of the Franklin Planner System, and he wrote a book called The 10 Natural Laws of Successful Time and Life Management. And in that book, he talked about the need to have a personal constitution. And through that personal constitution, you would set for yourself a set of rules to live by to achieve the mission that you have to achieve, and use that personal constitution to help yourself make good decisions. And I remember to this day, nearly 20 years later, what I came up with in response to that. Because when I read that, it made perfect sense to me. And I said, you know what? I need to do that for myself. So this is what I came up with. And I've told many people this over the last 20 years or so. Number one, I want to live a life that honors God. Number two, I want to be a wonderful husband, father, and friend. Number three, I want to be an informed and involved citizen. Number four, lead a healthy lifestyle. And number five, be a good steward of the resources that God has given to me. And whenever you face a decision, large or small, you can kind of compare the choice. If I go in this direction, will it be true to my constitution? If I go in that direction, will it or will it not be true to the constitution? So just kind of give you a couple of examples of how I've used it in my life. Some years ago, I had a chance to go to work for a particular company that is a major player in the real estate industry, and that's still one of the things I do with my life. I'm a real estate broker and also a real estate educator, as well as an educator here for career-related matters. And the initial idea was, hey, makes sense. It would be a good, steady paycheck. It would be a good paycheck in terms of that. It would just simply require a move back to Atlanta. And that was not a bad thing. My family's in Georgia. My wife's family's in Georgia. I went to school in Atlanta, so I was familiar with the area, familiar with the state, getting closer to family. And as I went through the process of of interviewing for that position, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, you know, this is not for you. Not going to give you peace over this decision. And I want to tell you a little bit more about the way that the personal constitution I have factored into that decision-making process when we get back from the break. So go grab your jelly donut, your cup of coffee, and your bunny slippers, and we'll see you in a few.
Does a financial advisor with a Christian worldview advise clients differently from an advisor that doesn't share that same worldview? The answer should obviously be yes. This is Certified Financial Planner Mike Miller with Plan First. As a fee-only, Christian-owned firm, I believe our advisors are dedicated to helping our clients maximizing their effectiveness in this world by being a good steward of the resources God has given them. For more information, call me at 1-800-588-PLAN and be sure to check out our advisory team at planfirst.com.
I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote, promote, promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, cards and brochures, there's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
Miracle Hill provides a bridge to homeless and hurting children and adults. on Saturday, June 6th. Bring your whole family to Furman University for the annual Interim Healthcare Miracle Hill Challenge. Registration is now open. Choose from a certified 5K run or a 20, 40, 62, or 100-mile ride. And for the kids, a Miracle Mile Fun Run. Register online at miraclehill.org. Miracle Hill Ministries. Shelter, food, and miracles. Every day.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
Radio for who you are. Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Romeiser with Career Callings, 864-381-7649, or Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. Before we left for the break, we were talking about the idea of having a personal constitution, a set of rules to live by, to make good decisions, to stay on focus with the mission that you have in life. And of course, everybody's mission, if you're a Christian, should be the same. Live a life that glorifies God. Everything we're supposed to do, we're supposed to glorify God. But the way we articulate the set of rules to live by might be different from, and would be different from person to person. But just to recap what I came up with some years ago when I read the book 10 Natural Laws of Successful Time and Life Management by Hiram Smith, I came up with a five-pronged personal constitution. Live a life that honors God. Be a wonderful husband, father, and friend. An informed and involved citizen. Lead a healthy lifestyle. And be a good steward of the resources God has given to me. Now, some years ago, as I was saying before the break, that I was engaged in interviewing with a company that would require me to relocate from the upstate of South Carolina back to Atlanta, Georgia, where I had gone to school. And with family in other parts of the state of Georgia, that move would bring us closer to them. It would be a great paycheck. It'd be a great company to work for. But throughout that process, I never had a peace. The Holy Spirit that dwells within me. And by the way, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. One of my favorite Bible verses, 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit moved into your body at that time, and you became his temple, which is one of the main reasons why we ought to live a holy lifestyle and obey God's word, because if we don't, we're grieving the Holy Spirit every time we sin. He's right there with us every step of the way. Never felt like I had any peace about that. Felt like I was trying to make the move for the sake of money. Wasn't trusting the word of God. Wasn't trusting God for my provision. Also had thoughts and fears that maybe it would put my children in an environment that might harm them spiritually. And that's not to say that there's not fantastic churches and fantastic Christian schools in Atlanta. I'm sure there are. We have our kids in a Christian school here in the upstate, and we have a great church. But I just felt like I was being told, if you do this, you're not honoring me. If you do this, you might fall short of being a wonderful husband, father, and friend, because you might be putting yourself in a position that will violate these things that God has shown me years ago that he wants me to do. Now, other people might have, that may have been God's will for them to go to Atlanta. Again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with moving to Atlanta or that job or that position. But for me, it was obviously something God didn't want me to do. And if you have a personal constitution, or if you develop one, if you don't have one now, You can use it to make career decisions. You can use it to make other decisions like, how am I going to spend this money on this particular issue? How am I going to spend this time that God has given me? Are we not supposed to be stewards of the time God has given us? Absolutely. Should I spend that wasting time doing this, or should I spend that reading the Word of God or reading some other material that God will use to make me better for Him? How about exercise and eating right? You know, should I eat that extra jelly donut, or should I forego? That's a hard issue for me, and many times I convene forget that one of my prongs, Maestro, is to lead a healthy lifestyle. If there's a Krispy Kreme donut in front of me, I've got a problem with that one. But it is what it is. I would encourage you, if you don't have a personal constitution already, that you develop one. And just a couple, three tips to go by to help you develop one. Number one, make sure your personal constitution is biblical. If you don't have your constitution rooted in Scripture, it's just going to be worthless human philosophy. As Christians, we ought to be governed by God's way of living, so we ought to make sure any constitution we have to make decisions with reflects the way God tells us to live in His Word. Number two, make it simple. Make it something you can remember and easily explain. My five-pronged personal constitution I've had in my head for 20 years. Now, I don't have a great memory, so the only reason I can say I can remember it well is because when I developed it, I was doing seminars on time management. So I repeated that constitution for audiences quite often in the early years. But now, 20 years later, I still remember it clearly. And those of you who have better memories than I do won't have any problem with that from the get-go. Number three, write it down, because you may not have a great memory, but also because by writing something down, it makes it more real to you. It makes it more real to you, makes it more significant, and makes it something you can go back and reference from time to time if indeed you struggle to remember it. Now, if you have a personal constitution, like I said before, you could use it the way I did to make decisions regarding your career. And decisions about your career calling include the four-step process we use at Career Callings. You, number one, have to discover your calling that God has for you. Number two, research jobs that fit your calling. Number three, prepare for your calling. And then, of course, number four, compete for your calling through your resume writing, interviewing, and so on and so forth. And you'll have decision points at each one of those stages. But for the next few minutes, I want to focus on stage number three, which is preparing for your calling. Preparing for your calling includes determining, you know, what education and our training is needed to qualify for jobs that you feel called to, researching which school or whatnot to obtain education from, deciding how to fund your education. All those are considerations that go into preparing for your calling. Now, Maestro, I've got a question for you. What do you think, or where do you think our culture teaches us that we ought to get this training for the work God has us to do?
In school.
In school. What kind of school?
Well, I mean, you start with school, higher education.
All right, that's what I'm looking for. Higher education, what do we normally call the higher education?
College, maybe?
Bingo. All right, most of the time, okay, you do not work well and play without well with others, all right? We got to work on that, pal. Maybe I'll show you my notes next time, I don't know. But nonetheless, you're right, that's what I was going for, college. You know, there is a growing body of knowledge, however, growing body of people that I will label, for lack of a better term, anti-college preachers out there that are challenging the conventional wisdom that college is necessary for everyone, and that you need to have college for good-paying, personally fulfilling careers. Now, even these folks will admit, as I will admit, that if you want to be in a licensed profession, anything medically related, maybe something to do with law or being a lawyer or an attorney, a public school teacher, anything like that where you have to be a licensed professional, it's pretty much guaranteed you're going to need some college of some kind in order to get the proper degrees and credentials you need for that kind of career. Same thing if you want to be a college professor. You'd have to go through the process of going through college, obviously. But these anti-college preachers definitely oppose the idea that college is for everyone, and I kind of come down on that same line of thinking. And to kind of give you a reason or an example of why I come to that, let me tell you a story real quick about a guy. I won't name him until the end, but this guy did indeed go to college. He got a bachelor's degree from Indiana University in 1981. Right out of college, though, he went to Dallas, Texas, and became a bartender. That's what he did with his degree. He attended bar. So after he got sick of making drinks, he worked at a PC software business, and after giving his own thoughts on how they ought to run the business, they fired him. So after they fired him, he decided to start his own software distribution company called Micro Solutions. And things were going well for him and his partner until his receptionist, or their receptionist, embezzled $83,000 out of the company's $85,000 balance in the bank account. Rather than run away, rather than get bitter, he buckled down, spent countless hours learning about the software he sold, and built the company, and eventually sold Micro Solutions in 1990 to H&R Block for $6 million. He personally made around $2 million, and that was his first big deal. He learned from that that with time and effort, I could learn any new technology that was released, and he did do that. Matter of fact, he learned all this stuff outside of college, and years later, he learned, as he was talking with other people that had college degrees in this same field, that when he would ask them deep questions about particular pieces of software or whatnot, most of the time they would give him blank stares because they had not studied what he had studied. They had not been as diligent as he had been. Even though they had a college degree in that issue, they didn't know what he knew because he self-taught. He basically outperformed the people that had the degree and the credential, even though he had a minimal background in computers and minimal training in it. Who do you think, Maestro, I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Good answer. I am talking about billionaire Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban, owner of the NBA's Dallas Mavericks basketball team, Landmark Theaters, Magnolia Pictures, and also an investor on the television series Shark Tank. So Mark is one of many people who've shown you that self-teaching can get you ahead. It's not the college degree. It's how much you learn and not necessarily where you learn it. Two of these anti-college preachers are Keo Stark, who wrote a book called Don't Go Back to School, and Blake Bowles, who wrote a book called Better Than College, How to Build a Successful Life Without a Four-Year Degree. Now, I've only begun reading both these books, so I can't give you a great synopsis. I can tell you that basically it boils down to this. College is for some, but not for everybody. There are alternative learning processes, and you're very likely to learn just as much, if not more, through an alternative method than going through traditional school, mainly for this reason. Internships, apprenticeships, travel, starting a business, studying on your own. Most of these things come with a fire in your belly. You're doing those because you want to do them, and you are engaged in the learning process. A lot of times, when you sit in a classroom, you're bored to tears. If you're not wired for that kind of environment, you're bored to tears. Just a few examples of online learning samples that you can kind of dig into, and I will link to all these on careercallings.net/radio. You can get free online courses for major universities on the following two websites, Coursera.org and edX.org. Lynda.com and Udacity.com are two great sites for technology, information technology type of education. And then my personal favorite, which I'm going to spend a couple minutes on here just real quick, is Udemy.com. Udemy.com has got all kinds of fantastic courses from all walks of life, photography, art, yoga, career development, real estate, you name it, they've got courses from or on the topic there that you want to look into there. And there's like over 6 million students on Udemy, 25,000 courses, 14,000 instructors. And the best thing about Udemy is not only can you learn, you can also be an instructor in your area of expertise and make money. The average Udemy instructor earns $10,000 over a two-year period, and they have dozens of people that have earned in excess of $100,000 a year. I will put a link to such a video of a young man named Nick Walter on my website so that you can learn about his story and how he made over $100,000 a year on Udemy.com. Career Callings, Robbie Romeiser. See us at careercallings.net/radio. Have a great day.